Now a week later, his disciples were again inside, and Thomas was with them. Jesus came, although the doors were locked, and stood in their midst and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands, and bring your hand and put it into my side, and do not be unbelieving, but believe." Thomas answered and said to him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Have you come to believe because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and have believed." Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples that are not written in this book, but these are written that you may come to believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that through this belief you may have life in his name. The Gospel of the Lord.
On this first Sunday after Easter, the church celebrates and recognizes the divine mercy of our God. It was after Jesus' death that the disciples scattered. Their faith was shaken. They were discouraged. They were afraid. Their hopes had been killed. So when Jesus appeared to them, they were afraid. Yet he came. The doors had been locked, but Jesus came and stood in their midst. And the disciples soon realized that God hadn't come to condemn them or to chastise them. He came because he believed in them. He was there to affirm them. He was there to lift them up and to reassure them of his love, his faithfulness, and his mercy. Jesus came not to take away the sufferings or the crosses of their lives. He didn't come to solve their problems, but he came to bring the peace of God into its midst, the peace of God, the mercy of God into their hearts, to fill them with hope and to give them courage again, to take the step forward, to break out of their fears, their paralyzing isolation, in all of the injustice that this life throws at them. And Jesus can break through the fear and the doubts that prevent you from opening your heart and trusting him. And he's there to stand within you, in your midst, before you, within your heart and your soul. There's no doors, there's no fears, there's no obstacles that can prevent him from coming. This is who he is, our God, the power of God, the life of God, the hope of God, and the mercy of God. It was interesting that Thomas wasn't with the other apostles when Jesus first appeared to them. Maybe his discouragement or feeling lost moved him to just need to be alone, to be isolated. Jesus understood Thomas. So when he returned a week later to that locked room, it wasn't for the other apostles who had already seen them. He came for Thomas. He came for the one who doubted, who was afraid. He was the one who just couldn't believe. So much of life had just totally destroyed his perspective and his expectations. But Jesus desired so much that Thomas also believe in him in the resurrection, that he came back especially for him. And in his great mercy, Jesus will come back again for you, because he never forgets the lost sheep. And he will continue to pursue and to come and to knock and to be present, to invite and to draw us. Because all that we think is going to satisfy us, all that we think is going to give our lives fulfillment and happiness, ultimately ends up discouraging us, leaving us empty, meaningless. And it's Jesus who continues to stay there and to invite us to give him now another chance. One of the beautiful gospel parables about God's mercy is that of the prodigal son. And it's in that story that the son did return to his father. After he had experienced so much disappointment and abandonment in the world, the emotional isolation, the physical sufferings that this world often throws at us. But the son, humbled, did go back to the father's house. And he unexpectedly experienced an embrace of forgiveness, of love, affirming him, his dignity, and that he was wanted and he did belong. Now, in our Easter stories, we have another son, the Son of God, who came into this world and also had everything thrown at him. He was beaten, he was mocked, he was rejected, he was abandoned by humanity. But he, in the power of God, returns to his Father's house. The problem is we are still left here. What about us? We're unable to return to our Father's home. We're unable to bridge this gap between this world and the next, between our brokenness, our sinfulness, and the purity and the wholeness of God. So the wonder and the amazement of it all is that Jesus comes for us. He takes the initiative. He reaches out with the wounds in his hands and in his side. Although we had rejected him in the crucifixion, he returns with mercy. He returns with a forgiving love to affirm us, to save us, to rescue us from the eternal darkness, the isolation in this world. And a new life of hope is possible in that relation with him. He asks only that we reach out to him. We say yes, we accept him. We humble ourselves before him, but that we receive the affirmation of the dignity that is ours as beloved daughters and sons. In the divine mercy image, Jesus is moving towards us, and he's asking us to trust him. It's not about trusting yourself. It's not about trusting others. It's not about trusting this world or programs. He's asking us not to be afraid to approach him, to ask for his mercy in the sacrament of confession. Because confession isn't about ourselves, it's not about our sins. It's about God and his mercy and his faithfulness and your dignity and your value in his eyes. And he wants to affirm that. He wants to re-welcome you. He wants to flood you with the grace that flows from the wounds of his side. We're wounded. We're beaten down in this world. We're left for lost. And it's only in the mercy of God, it's only in the sacramental life of the church that he is lifting us up, we encounter the mercy of God, which restores us to our dignity as beloved daughters and sons. And that's what the disciples came to know. It's an interior resurrection that takes place in and through the person of Jesus. He raises spirits, he changes our lives. And it's the wounds of Jesus that are the channels to transmit his mercy into our human misery in this world. His wounds are the pathways to our hope, to the mercy, to the forgiveness of God. And it recreates us. It restores to us our dignity. Entrusts us with a mission. As we are known, as we are forgiven, as we are loved, now too we are to go out to affirm others, to forgive others, to lift others up, to acknowledge their dignity with love and forgiveness. And it's not because it's easy, but because we're no longer alone. We're in a relationship with God who's walking with us, who's lifting us. And it's his strength which helps us to begin again every day with love and forgiveness. Yes, Jesus lived in this world. He suffered in this world. He died in this world. And he rose from the dead in his humanity for you and for me. And if that's what it took to save us, we must have been in pretty bad shape. But if that's what it took to save us, our God must feel that we're worth it. So it's our struggle now to do our best each day, in our struggle to be faithful in living from this relationship with our God. As we seek and struggle to do what is right and to do what is just, as we seek to accept and affirm what is true and what is good, being aware that we're no longer alone in this world, but we're walking humbly at the side of our God who is present, who is with us. He's appearing to us, coming through the locked doors of our lives and our fears. And he asks only that we don't give up on ourselves and we don't give up on each other. And above all, don't give up on God, because God isn't giving up on you. Let's trust him more and let's worry less, because he's trusting us and he's on our side. Amen. Alleluia.